You guys ought to be playing this over on the alternative station, L7.
I think we might play that Float On with the Kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on Friday.
Excellent. Are you going to announce it before, or are you just going to spring it on the people?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
All right. Yeah, these guys were popular for a brief shining moment in, like, 1993. These were one of those, the what are they, the Riot Girls? The Riot Girl bands. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Rick, could you please put the out-of-context clip of Bush talking about blowing up America on your... What clip?
Vote for me. I look forward to blowing up America.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, maybe we'll put that on the newly redesigned website. It's rickemerson.com. Here's Tim Riley. Time for the Jackson Watch.
Excellent.
Attorney Ann Berger, who was in the courtroom, said, the boy said he wasn't molested by Michael at school, so the other kids would stop teasing him in the schoolyard.
I think it played very well, because it made sense that when after that Martin Bashir video aired, which was just a bombshell about, you know, living with Michael Jackson, it's a natural thing to sleep with children, holding hands with the complainant, etc. He was teased at school. They were saying, this is the boy that sleeps with Michael Jackson, and he just... He didn't want anyone to know that it really had happened. And so he didn't want anyone at the school to know, including the dean. And it made perfect sense. You know, part of a child abuse victim's demeanor can be that they are embarrassed. They don't want people to know, and they have some shame. And that's why when advocates in terms of, you know, rape relief cases say, you know, stop the silence and the shame, because that's part of what he felt. So it made sense. And with a child abuse expert coming up, I think it'll get tied in for the jury in terms of that this is a kind of an appropriate response or a typical response that you see.
You know how jealous kids can get.
Well, now that seems completely reasonable, though, because there was so much made about the fact that the kid denied it to the people at school and the dean of the school. I'm doing that thing again. Hold on. Listen to how pointless this is. They want me to press the cough button when I clear my throat, okay? Yeah, there's a lot of good, doesn't it? In any event, there was so much made about the fact that the kid denied it to the dean, but it's like, even if you had consensual sex with Michael Jackson, it seems like that's embarrassing. Much less him getting you drunk and sticking his hand down your pants. How many grown women do you know that, you know, hey, what happened to your face, Sally? I walked into a door, you know, and he only hits me because he loves me. You know, so everybody denies all that stuff. So it makes perfect sense that the kid would deny it. It's completely embarrassing. Michael Jackson inserting his fingers in private areas of your body. I mean, it's
you saw the documentary. I mean, the way he was, like, snuggling up to him. Like, imagine, like, how tortured that kid was after seeing that.
Oh, that's a kid that got beat and sent to school.
Oh, completely.
Really?
There was no cookie break.
He had it coming, though.
Well, anyway, the Michael Jackson trial judge was overruled by the jury yesterday when they extended their 10-minute snack break because of an unexpected bonanza. Free pizza. Superior Court Judge Rodney Melville had been running an unusually rigid schedule with no lunch hour, just three quick snack breaks during 6 hours of testimony, a hunger-inducing regimen he calls the Melville Diet. When jurors took an extra 15 minutes getting back in their seats, he offered an explanation. The Olive Garden heard a CNN report that the jurors were starving to death, he announced, so they sent over a bunch of pizzas. He said the jury sent out an attack squadron with word that they wanted time to eat their pizzas, so now they're full and they can thank CNN.
This is how it starts. This is the beginnings of the rebel jury. This is just what happened in the OJ case. I'm reading tea leaves here, but this doesn't really bode well for Michael Jackson because... Really, any group of jurors whose dream food is from the Olive Garden isn't really a group of jurors that's going to look too kindly in somebody like Michael Jackson, it seems to me. Here's is that your Jackson Watch?
Yes, it is.
There's the Jackson Watch for Wednesday. Tim Riley, the Max Mental Newsroom.
Time now for a little Florida fun. This comes to us from Lakeland. A man found dead in a pond was the victim of a nearly 9-foot alligator that was captured and killed. Officials do not know what Don Owen, the truck driver from Marteau, was doing at a pond filled with crocodiles. dozens of miles from his home. He'd been missing since he was last seen at a convenience store. On Saturday, his remains were found by several men fishing at Six Pound Pond. An autopsy determined he'd been killed by an 8-foot-9-inch alligator. How did they do that? How can they figure out how long the alligator was?
Well, if they caught it, though.
Oh, I see. Residents said they had fed the alligator, which is illegal and dangerous.
Oh, you don't want to do that. Why would you do that? I guess I know that you're trying to make friends with it so it doesn't come out to your children.
Like a petting zoo.
Well, that's like Florida petting zoo. Redneck petting zoo.
Yeah.
Have we all seen Lake Placid? Man, Lake Placid is a funny movie, but it's a freaky movie. It's got Betty White and it's the 30-foot alligator, whatever the hell. So, 10 feet is, I mean, that's large, man. That's like it's like two of Sarah. I mean, it's freaky.
Owen's forearm was found in the alligator's stomach. Alligators normally flee from humans unless threatened or cornered, but alligators have been fed by humans who look at them as a food source.
So that's the thing. See, if you feed the alligator, mm-hmm. they lose their fear, and then they'll come at, like you stop giving them popcorn, it's just going to be a pound of flesh. You know what I mean? And here's why. Here's a little fun fact for you. So here's why they always find the forearm. Who wants to know why? Why they always find the forearm in the stomach of the alligator?
Well, they probably make the alligator beg.
Reek, jump for it. Come on. No.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you know, it's like, can I just say my dog is actually kind of fattening up a little bit because he lives with us. That's just the way things go in our house. And so I'll do that thing instead of making him like, you know, make him do a little jump for the milk bone or something. I feel so bad because he's kind of gotten fat, and so now he kind of hits the ground with a sort of dull thud like a sack of wet cement.
Oh, no.
Jump for it. You know, it's just sad. No, here's why. Because, A, two reasons. Either A, he was feeding the alligator, crocodile.
Alligator.
Yeah. Feeding the alligator. That's probably why it is, frankly. He was like, here, who wants some ham? You know, and then the alligator goes down to the arm. Or secondly, because you know what the alligator does, and this is the freaky part if you've ever seen him do. You know how they kill things, is they go for an extremity. Like they don't kill you by chomping down on you. That's not how they kill you. They grab whatever they can grab, which is your arm, because it sticks out the farthest. All they need is something to get a hold of. Pant leg, arm, hand, earlobe, whatever. And then they just do that thing of rolling over and over and over in the water until you're dead from drowning. And then they just eat you at their leisure. So that's why they always find the forearm.
So it's different than a chimpanzee attack.
A chimpanzee will just take its time and just slowly beat you to death in front of your wife while you try to reason with it.
Eat your fingers one by one.
Like finger food. Like there's so much, like there's so many of those sugar wafers. While we're talking about sea creatures, let me tell you this. I just read the greatest book by Michael Capuzzo, and it's called Close to Shore. And it is if you are terrified of scary things in the water, as I am, you want to read this book called Close to Shore. It's a non. I don't read a lot of fiction, so this is a non-fiction book, like most of the things I read. But some of you kind of Jaws fans out there know that Jaws was based on a real series of shark attacks that happened on the Jersey Shore in 1916. And so a shark attacked six different people over the course of a couple weeks. And this is the true story of all of those attacks, how it happened. And first of all, and I swear to God, I'll limit this to like 60 seconds, and then we'll move on, because I can just sit and wank about sharks and sea creatures forever. But I...
Well, we enjoyed the stories.
Well, I got to tell you, though, in 1916, when all these shark attacks were happening, you know, they thought that sharks were completely harmless. And sharks were considered... Like the idea of a man-eating shark was considered like the Loch Ness monster. They thought it was an old wives' tale. It was the generally accepted wisdom at the time that man-eating sharks were a myth, that they did not exist. No one thought sharks were dangerous. The New York Times ran front page articles: sharks completely, you know, man-eating sharks, a fictitious creature, does not exist. No one thought they existed. They didn't think they were real. And so when people started. And people started getting killed by this rogue great white shark, and it was one shark which went crazy and killed a bunch of people on the shore, and people just like kept going in the water. It was a coral reef, you know, it was a boat propeller, you know, whatever.
Swamp gas.
They tell, and there is the creepiest story, which I will outline very briefly, then we will move on forever and ever.
Okay.
But they tell the creepiest story in this book, which is completely true, which has been documented, it happened, it still happens very rarely, but... On the Jersey Shore, there was this one little inlet where the ocean kind of turns around into an inlet and drains into a small pond, or a large pond, I guess. Small, tiny lake, small pond. Hmm. And so the pond has some salt water in it. It's sort of salty-ish. It's not like seawater, but it's salty enough that the shark is around. So the shark somehow takes the wrong, like the left turn at Albuquerque, gets lost, gets in the inlet, and the shark, this great white shark that's like 9 feet long, ends up in a pond in the middle of this little New Jersey town. And they tell the story, and it was like a new, there was like a documented newspaper account. I mean, of the guy, he's like walking across the river, Tom Sawyer style, with like a fishing pole over his, you know, shoulder, like, gonna go pull me some crawdads out of the, and he's like walking the, taking the bridge, the little footbridge over the pond. Imagine that you're some guy, you're walking on a little footbridge over a pond in your hometown, and you see a goddamn great white shark. You just see that huge 3 foot fin, just, and he like runs into town, he's like, hey, there's a giant shark in the pond, and they're all, yeah, shark in the pond, ah. You're so crazy, you know, and then cut to like an hour later when some kids are like, let's go dip it in yonder pond, you know, and then, you know, oh, man, I can't even talk about it. It's freaking me out even just to think about it. So read it. Book called, it's called Close to Shore. It's by Michael Capuzzo. It's a fantastic book. Here's Tim Riley.
Here's a second story from Florida. A college spring breaker from Iowa was seriously injured when he fell from a balcony during a spitting contest in Panama City. Brooks McLaren, who's 19, of Hazleton, Iowa, was on the second floor of America's Best Value Inn about midnight when he leaned over the railing, lost his grip, and fell onto concrete during a contest to see who could spit the farthest.
That's too bad.
He suffered head injuries and is listed in stable. He was listed in stable condition Tuesday. Balcony falls sometimes fatal or a common hazard during spring break, but police say this year they've been relatively safe.
That's like a friend of mine who used to have contests with her sister to see who could stare at the sun the longest. It's just so hard to have sympathy for people like that.
We used to have falls daily, said Lieutenant Jeff Healy, but this year's spring breakers are the most behaved I've seen in 15 years. Excellent. Last year, two spring break visitors were injured from balcony falls, but both survived.
All right. See, and because my address is all over the Internet, this is what I get. Talk show host, Harvard faculty under influence of radical feminism. Book this compelling guest today. I'll not be booking this guest today or any day. I'm just going to be deleting that right now. Rick, about the Olive Garden. Stop. Do they advertise with us?
No, but they have good lunches.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Have the Geek Watch.
Yeah, you're listening to KGA Vancouver, Portland, by the way.
Mode emission,
is there a second station also? Okay, so let's say,
remember, you
just both the television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux, so just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
I will say this about the Olive Garden. They do have good breadsticks.
That's why I go there.
Okay, that's a fair enough statement. The Olive Garden does have fantastic breadsticks. That's the one thing I will say.
So and those little... Oh, no, that's Red Lobster that has the little cheese biscuit things.
I don't know what
those are.
Those are
so good.
Well, you know that Olive Garden... Look, and no disrespect to anybody who eats there, but you know that Olive Garden and Red Lobster are... They're exactly the same.
No, they totally are. No, they're connected in Bremerton, and so every time I go to Bremerton, we go out for a big family dinner.
They're connected?
Yeah, they're
oh,
the
it's like one of those
twofer,
like a box of Nerds candy?
It's like Kentucky Fried Chicken and A&W Root Beer candy.
Yeah, they're separated by like a little walkway, but they look two completely different.
So you can eat at one and then purge and then go to the other one?
Yep. Like
Red Robin's the same way. Red Robin... In fact, I am pretty sure they're all owned by the same company. I mean, I can't verify that, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, after setting cinema box office records around the world, The Lord of the Rings will take it to the stage as a musical. The show, based on the fantasy classic by J.R.R. Tolkien, is to open March 2006 in Toronto and come to London 6 months later. But the producers have promised to go back to the original tale of Middle-earth and not try to reproduce the dazzling special effects from the movie trilogy. Eager to quell the fears of devoted Tolkien purists who dreaded the classic being transferred into a showbiz extravaganza, there'll be no singing or dancing hobbits. The music will be very traditional and draw on ethnic tradition.
Yeah.
Part 2. After years of lavish spectacles reigning on Broadway, a musical based on a film made up of comedy sketches about medieval Europe will soon be a hard sell. But Spamalot is proving naysayers wrong, turning the 1974 classic comedy Monty Python and the Holy Grail into Spamalot, took Python member Eric Idle 3 years of work. And it looks like the hard work is paying off, with the musical proving a critical daring in its Broadway run and smash box office smashes before it even opens. Spamalot, scheduled to open at the on the Great White Way Thursday, could be a savior. The show has been filling more than 90% of the seats at the Schubert Theater in previews and taking a weekly gross of $750,000, rivaling such smash hits as The Lion King, Wicked, and Mamma Mia.
Which,
and
I don't have any problem with this, because there's some things that are not supposed to be adapted into musicals, but the Holy Grail seems, it seems wholly appropriate that would happen. So, what?
Holy Grail seems wholly appropriate.
No, I was unintentional. I'm just saying it, because Monty Python has always been so much about music and so much about, the song stylings of Eric Idle.
And Tim Curry. Come on now.
And Tim Curry. Best known for his work in what movie, Sarah?
Rocky Horror. No Clue, I'm sorry.
There you go, The Clue. Also, he was also Pennywise the Clown in It, and he was also... Wait, I have some other... Oh, he was also King Chicken on Duckman. But it... What was my point? Points? Point? I had a point.
Sharks.
Nonsense. No. Shark like this? Swallow you whole. There's your Geek Watch.
By Grandthor's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Let's see what's on the TV tonight. The West Wing is on NBC.
Just renewed inexplicably for a seventh season, by the way, for the four people out there watching who still care about this. It is how long it's been since I've watched The West Wing. Apparently, I was reading a message board last night, because I'm a loser, and there was some... I was reading some TV news board, and they're like, "The West Wing renewed for seventh season. Click here to find out more." So I'm reading the thing, and apparently at some point over the last year and a half, like, Allison Janney was made chief of staff of the show, which means that... I guess Leo McGarry left the show. I don't understand anything about it, what's going on. All I know is that Jimmy Smits and Alan Alda are running against each other for the presidency now, which isn't compelling to me in any way.
National Lampoon's Animal House on tonight on AMC.
Yeah.
Followed by Every Which Way But Loose.
Wait, now, hold on. Let's talk to... First of all...
These are 1978 movies.
I'm going to gloss over the fact that Sarah hadn't seen Die Hard and still hasn't seen Die Hard. To talk to Kyle for a second. Now, you've seen Animal House.
No.
What?
Oh, Kyle.
Oh, dude.
The Belushi brothers, right?
The Belushi brothers.
I don't know. Two of them until one...
OD'd.
Okay.
Get out of my sight. Never talk again. All right.
It's not your job to scorn. It's your job to educate.
All right. Why are you surprised? I don't understand.
We're coming back to this. I'm not even going to wait for Scott Daly.
I believe there's a generational divide here.
It's not a generational divide. That's not true. I don't believe that's accurate. I think that's an inaccurate way to portray this. That is a radically revisionist reading of this text. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write this down. I'm not even waiting for Friday.
Okay.
And we'll come back to Animal House.
Hey, Tim, what's on Lifetime?
Well, let me look.
Something about the...
Before he wakes.
Raping and
a
shooting.
A woman goes to shocking lengths to preserve a facade of wealthy respectability.
Mm.
Kind of like keeping up appearances.
Like a Mrs. Winterbourne thing? No, wait. The guy was in the coma and she pretended to be the wife?
While you were sleeping? When Sandra Bullock pretended to be engaged to him?
Then what's Mrs. Winterbourne?
That's a Ricky Lake movie.
Isn't that Ricky? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was a horrible movie.
Weren't you in that film?
No. I was on the promotional staff trying to organize a movie theater full of people to see it.
How did that work out?
That was the last one I ever worked on. it was impossible.
Would you like to come see Ricky Lake? Hello.
And that came out, and I thought the movie before that was bad, which was Up Periscope with
Kelsey Grammer.
So. I thought, okay, I'm really going downhill. What could be worse? And I was given Mrs. Winterbourne.
Has Kelsey Grammer's never been in a good film, has
no.
he? Ever.
No.
Ever. I don't even... that guy... Kelsey Grammer seems like the kind of guy that should have been cast in a Woody Allen film by now, because that's the only place he's ever going to work. You can see him working at that, but he's never made Up Periscope. I'd forgotten all about that. That and that goddamn... that Sergeant Bilko thing that Steve Martin did.
And Bottle Rocket came out around that time.
Bottle Rocket's fine.
Yeah, that was a sleeper.
Bottle Rocket.
Too hard.
Bottle Rocket is a fine film.
And Powder came out around that same time.
Powder's a fine film as well.
I love Powder.
Pity about all that child molestation.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know that whole thing, right?
No.
Yeah, the guy who directed Powder's big child molester.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's a good movie.
Especially because the movie's about, like, a small, hairless, like, waif-like boy. You know?
Sensitive.
Like, is it a whole thing? Because it's a Disney film. It's a film distributed by Touchstone, I think. And so there's a whole thing about why is Disney... I mean, it's a fine film. I love Powder, the film. I really do. You got to separate the stuff from the stuff. But it is kind of weird that Disney, if I'm getting my facts straight, and I apologize if I'm not, but I think it was Disney, that was distributed in a movie directed by this guy who had a record. I mean, it was just all very strange. But it's a great film, though. Powder's a fantastic movie. It really is. And then Bottle Rocket, which is the first film from Wes Anderson, who did Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums. Bottle Rocket's a good film, too.
Where were we?
I have no idea. TV Tonight.
TV Land Awards are on tonight. This is on the Nick Channel, I think.
How can you have an award show? Those shows have all been off the air for like 50 years.
Yeah, but it's a good excuse to take an hour out from the Fresh Prince and what else is on here? Oh, Fresh Prince.
Did you see the USA Today with Suzanne Plachet and Bob Newhart?
No.
There was a big thing about TV Land, and I love Bob Newhart, but man, he is just one. He's one big. He looks like his thumb when you get out of the hot tub after half an hour. You know what I mean? Just like one, you could hide quarters in his wrinkles.
I mean, he was like one of Johnny Carson's original Tonight Show guests.
He really was.
I mean, he's been around for so long. He's part of, Carlin was around at that point, and so those other guys.
Absolutely.
RoboCop 3 is on tonight also.
You have 10 seconds to comply.
Let's talk to some celebrities, because we enjoy it so much. In the new Disney picture, Ice Princess, Michelle Trachtenberg plays Casey, a girl who wants to be a champion figure skater.
Hey, Michelle, how does it feel to be the person who ruined Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Rachel's moved out of town. Clearly, Seattle was not the right place for her anymore.
Is that an accent?
She's gone to a place where it feels more remote. She's obviously changed on every level.
This is completely not Michelle Trachtenberg.
Living with this secret, living with the guilt. What is she?
Is it number one? Is that what?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I think it's about right. They all sound about the same. Michelle, please.
I'll make up my own.
Michelle, please talk about the training you did for this movie.
He's a very gentle man, very quiet, and
today's Wednesday, right?
Today is Wednesday.
A huge amount of preparation and shot list, and went over things very carefully. And
you picked Wednesdays,
first ring, and
I believe so. Let me check.
So I had a huge amount of faith in him already, and you know, I am someone who really. Really loves.
I don't even know who this is, though. That's
really,
the thing.
Really
usually we at least have an idea of who the person actually is.
Yeah, these covered the Paris Hilton ones that were repeating yesterday.
Okay.
Country music comedian Cletus T. Judd appears as a correspondent in Nashville Star.
All right, I wonder who this is.
The show is a competition to find the next great country singer/songwriter. Cletus, tell us about your role.
Hold on. Before you play this, let's take odds. Do we think this is really going to be Cletus T. Judd?
Yes.
Okay. Sarah?
I don't know if the first two are wrong, because I downloaded the E-Cuts for Wednesday, so you might have picked the wrong day.
I might have picked the wrong day, in which case it's all my fault. Okay, well, I'm gonna remain neutral here. Tim thinks this will be Cletus T. Judd.
Yep.
Okay, or who else would it be? Would you have done yesterday's?
Maybe.
17 and 19.
It's possible that is anybody else having problems with their browser lately?
Is anyone else having problems with their E-Cuts?
Is anyone else up there? Is it hot where you are? I kill me.
All right, listen to Cletus.
Yeah, sure.
I don't see what's wrong with social climbing.
That is not a man named Cletus.
Just the way your life
is. He moved to London as a young man.
Life, for your own personality, you want to fix it, do it.
He's gone all upscale on me.
So, no,
he's gone all city on us.
Cletus, tell us, what do you think is the toughest part for the contestants?
I find there's something about women's ability to compromise and steer through and
this is the best thing I have ever heard.
The egos of their husbands and their children and their this and their
fantastic.
That and soothe and let people think things they are not really thinking and mask their ambition and move in a way that's acceptable.
This is so much better than the real Cletus T. Judd could ever be.
Rules of our society, but nevertheless, makes them clever and makes them subtle and gives them a kind of understanding of the game that I think, I wouldn't say all men don't have, but I think a lot of men do not need to acquire and consequently.
I'm picturing Cletus T. Judd like an ascot.
Society, but nevertheless, makes
like
them
a curved pipe.
Clever and makes them subtle and gives them a kind
makes
of understanding of the game that I think, I wouldn't say all men don't have, but I think a lot of men do not need to acquire and consequently.
And this
don't.
Just goes on and on.
Please describe dining with many pearls.
You're a plumber. What on earth is that? Boy, that was really the best thing I've ever
That
heard.
Was the most fun I've had today. It really is.
Seriously, just sitting there in his office with a smoking jacket.
Vote for me. I look forward to blowing up America.
Thank you. All right, I believe this is my fault. I believe, as much as I'd love to blame Matt or the computer.
Yeah. Don't even say believe, it is your fault.
Yeah, Tim, do you have the e-cuts? We'll play them later.
And yes, I thought these were much better than anything you could possibly play later.
Really, it's true. How much, really, like the real Michelle Trachtenberg can ever be entertaining like this.
Who's Michelle? Is that Willow?
No, she was Dawn.
Oh, I hate that girl.
Everybody hates her and her stupid shiny hair. I'm sorry. Man,
and her with the breathing.
You with the eyes in your face. No, it's like, it is wear those eyes on a necklace. No, she just ruined that whole show. You'd think they'd learn. You can't stick a young kid on a TV show because it ruins it. You know, but Joss Whedon, in his infinite hubris, had this whole thing of, no, if I make her 15, she can't be irritating. Because teenage girls are never irritating. Whiny, bitchy, self-centered teenage girls are never annoying. So, I'm not going to get all off into that. I'm going to put these over here. We'll come back and we'll hear more from Monsignor Judd.
Tea time at the Grand Ole Opry.
Good show.
Here's Tim Riley. Let's do the clown watch.
Excellent.
This comes to us from our neighbors to the north in Vancouver, as in British Columbia. A Vancouver woman has filed a lawsuit against Cirque du Soleil, alleging one of the clown acts went terribly wrong.
I love things where the clown act goes terribly wrong.
Maria Miller had a stage side seat at the July performance of Cirque du Soleil. Her lawyer, Val LeBlanc, said a clown tumbled across the stage toward the audience and was meant to stop. It was supposed to thrill the audience, but a tether either broke or wasn't properly attached, said he. The lawsuit claims the burly performer tumbled onto Miller, causing her numerous soft tissue injuries. She alleges negligence on the part of two performers and the circus. She is suing for personal injuries, income loss, and expenses because of the incident.
What are soft tissue injuries?
Kyle just told me it's deep inside.
I don't understand. Those are internal injuries.
Is that like a bruise?
I know, but you have your soft tissue in there, too. I think on the outside.
It's all soft tissue. Just on me. Bada bing. No, I don't understand what that means.
You know what? I actually...
You're just making it up. No. You have no idea.
I had a hunch, but I'm not going with it anymore.
What's your hunch?
I had a hunch. You and Marty Feldman.
I thought it was right, but I'm not.
Okay.
Well, I didn't pay attention in college.
Okay. There's your clown watch. I found the Olive Garden info. Garden Restaurants is a holding company controlled by Joe Lee, founder of Red Lobster Seafood, a restaurant chain that owns several casual dining restaurant chains, including both Red Lobster and the Italian themed. Note that they don't say it's actually an Italian restaurant. The Italian themed. They've got plastic grapes on the little dividing walls between the tables. Italian themed Olive Garden and has done since 1995. He owns Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Bahama Breeze, that's undoubtedly some place where a lot of Jimmy Buffett is playing, Seasons 52, and Smoky Bones Barbecue and Grill. All right. Okay, here's Tim Riley.
An Iranian serial killer who murdered at least 20 children has been executed in front of a large crowd of fans. Mohammed Byong, dubbed the Tehran Desert Vampire by Iran's press, was flogged 100 times before being hanged.
Excellent.
A brother of one of his young victims stabbed him as he was being punished. The mother of another victim was asked to put a noose around his neck. The execution took place south of Tehran, near the location of the year-long killing spree. The killer was hoisted about 10 meters into the air by a crane and slowly throttled to death in front of the baying crowd. Hanging by crane is a common form of execution in Iran. It does not involve the swift death, as the condemned prisoner's neck is not broken. The killer collapsed twice during the punishment, although he remained calm and silent throughout. Spectators held back by barbed wire, about 100 police officers chanted, "Harder, harder," as officials took turns flogging his bare back before his hanging. let's see. Officials then invited the mother of one of the victims to put blue nylon rope around his neck. It's drawn to massive attention in the Iranian media. He reportedly tricked children to go with him to the desert south of Iran by saying they were going to hunt animals. Then they were either poisoned or knocked out and abused and buried in shallow graves.
Well, all right. It's good to see the death penalty is a deterrent.
Yeah.
It's not a deterrent. Hold on. Let me read that. Everybody got to whack him?
No, everyone was cheering. A few people got to whack him.
Was flogged 100 times while the crowd chanted, harder, harder. That's got to be embarrassing. A brother of one victim stabbed him as he was being flogged. The mother of another victim got to put the noose around his neck. Hoisted 10 meters into the air slowly by a crane and slowly straddled to death in front of a cheering crowd. All right, there you go. All right. What have I got? Rick, this email says, about your e-cuts. Good to see all that extra time spent doing show prep has made the show run so much smoother. Keep it up, Nathan. F-Mat with hours of pointless, meaningless show prep.
This F-Mat is brought to you by Barfly Magazine.
Well, it is what we do. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the religious nutcase watch.
Here's your religious nutcase watch for Wednesday.
Last month, to focus on Christianity, Brian Head Welch has delivered a sermon from the pulpit, traveled to Israel, and has been baptized in the River Jordan. Now he's turning his attention to saving souls, and he's decided to start with 50 Cent. On Friday, Welch emailed MTV News detailing his trip to Israel, where he began realizing that he should be working on solo material to be released under the moniker Head. One of the songs he discussed in detail was, as he described it, quote, a personal letter to 50 from God, unquote, which he may or may not release, depending on 50's reaction to it.
I think I know what 50's reaction to it's going to be.
The big guy speaks through me a lot when I write. And I have a song from 50 Cent. I wrote it in the Holy Land. I feel like it's a personal letter to 50 from God, so I'm going to give it to him personally and see what his reaction is.
Raise your hand if you're embarrassed for the guy from Korn who used to be cool.
Well, if it's a positive reaction, he's willing to talk to me, and I'm not going to release it. But if the reaction is not positive, I'm going to share it with the world. Walt says he doesn't fear retribution from 50, whether he does feel protected from the fact that he's merely acting as an emissary between God and the former Curtis Jackson. It's not a mean song, but it is like a loving father disciplining his son and telling him how it is. Kind of like Trey's dad in the movie Boys in the Hood. There's really no way he can come back at me through music because it's not from me, it's from the big guy. Even 50 respects the big guy.
All right. You have the fantastic, excellent. Oh, listen to this. No, this is the best part though. One, it says that a guy that Welch might have a, because apparently there's beef between this guy Head from Korn and the guys who are still in the band, Jonathan Davis, who's the freaky lead singer guy. He put this statement on the blog saying, you know, that this guy was a punk and whatnot. So he said religion was not the reason I left Korn. It was what saved my life. I still love the guys in Korn to death, but if anybody trashes God, I'll defend him by any means necessary.
Wow. It's about time somebody did.
There you go. That's what we need more of. All right, let's take a little break here. All right, we'll come back. Oh, I'm sorry. So coming up, what do we got? What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? We got.
Well, we have a EAS test right now.
Oh, is that one of those? Attention, listeners, change the dial.
You're not going to be understand a word they say.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to get
a if this had been an actual emergency,
you still wouldn't be able to understand where the fire's coming from. All right, top five on the way. Jolie on the way. We'll pick a name for listener party eight, and all this up, plus Clyde Lewis. Those are Ground Zero. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland.
Imagine the way I felt. I couldn't unfasten a safety belt. Riding along in my collar blues. Still trying to get her belt loose. All the way home I held a grudge. For the safety belt that wouldn't budge.
dancing and playing the radio. With no particular place to go.
Doesn't matter. You know,
did you see what day they were from? Yeah. Who were they?
No, it's my fault. I don't know. Well, I don't know what those ones we downloaded today were. I'm just going to prefer to think that Cletus T. Judd talks that way. Let's be honest. I don't really care what Michelle Trachtenberg has to say. It was just an excuse to make a Buffy the Vampire Slayer joke.
And you got to.
So she's the thing that ruined that show. Which is too bad because I really liked you back with... At the risk of just sounding like a complete dork and a sissy man. Like, even more so. All right. All right. Sissification commencing in 3, 2, 1. I really liked her when she was Harriet the Spy. Well, whatever. And then Cletus T. Judd talks about something or other. This week on the show will be a special performance of the Charlie Daniels Band. All right, well, he's still my beating heart. All right, well, I'm not going to worry about it. All right, what the hell am I doing? It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Here is what is coming up on the show. We have we have Clyde Lewis, who's going to be here with News at Ground Zero. We'll be doing the top five here in a short while. We're going to do the top five hottest rock and roll girlfriends. We've also got Jolie, who will be here with How Chicks Think. At issue today, and this is sort of interesting, because we've talked about girls playing hard to get and girls sort of, you know, girls sort of playing it is slow or whatever. So we're going to talk about how you can tell the difference between a girl who's playing hard to get and a girl who just isn't interested. So we'll talk about that later on, and we will come up with a name for Listener Party 8. Listener Party 8 will be named by the end of today's program. That's the thing we're going to get to. And I still have this ways to tell that your child has become gothic. So we'll get that as well. I've got the from the and I thought it was fake, but it's from the Catholic Church. I emailed the person, because I got it from a couple different people. I emailed back and I said, is this a real thing? And apparently it is a real thing that was sent home in their, like a church, you know, like a packet or whatever that they get on Sundays. It's the warning signs that your child might be a goth. Listed below, it starts, are some warning signs to indicate if your child has gone astray from the Lord. So we'll do all of that. That is what we will get to. And I could tease other stuff, but there. I could tease other stuff, but there'll be no point. I do want to give you the worst movie. I've got two pieces of terrible movie news, by the way. One of them sort of dovetails. Oh, it was something that Sarah was talking about. So, well, I'll give you this first piece. Well, really, the headline says it all here. It's one of those headlines where you wonder how it is that their thought processes operate on the West Coast. Keanu Reeves to be Sinbad the Sailor in upcoming film. When I say the words Keanu Reeves, does that really sound like a guy who can portray somebody named Sinbad to you? I mean, I guess it could be portraying Sinbad the Comedian, which would be worse. Matrix movie star Keanu Reeves has signed on to be Sinbad the Sailor, the legendary character from the Arabian Nights, because he is so Arabian-looking. The upcoming movie set in 8th century China, the trade magazine Variety, reported on Wednesday. The Eighth Voyage of Sinbad, a Columbia Pictures film to be directed by Rob Cohen. Reeves and his shipmate sent off to find Aladdin's lamp, blah, blah, blah. I like how the minute Kyle leaves the room, that's when the phones start going all crazy over there.
No, he was doing me a favor.
Shiftless bastard. He's only been here for like 20 minutes. Where did he go? Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Were you getting Sarah's lunch?
No, I put it in. He just had to...
What else would I be doing?
Come on. All right. I'm just saying. All right. So Keanu Reeves is going to be Sinbad.
What?
All right. So we'll put that there.
Oh, man. I saw a preview I saw a trailer for Sin City, and that looks so good.
To me, Sin City looks like it's going to be the best thing ever.
Wow.
It's co-directed. This will mean nothing to anybody but geeks.
I saw that Quentin. Oh, I don't know.
Well, Robert Rodriguez, who did, of course, El Mariachi, Desperado, the Spy Kids films, he is directing along with Frank Miller, who's the guy who did the graphic novel, Sin City, which, and again, I'm not going to pretend like I'm some big comic book fan, but I know enough comic guys and I know enough about comics to know that Frank Miller is, I mean, it's quality work, it really is. That trailer, how great is that trailer, though?
And did you see, what does Quentin Tarantino do with that movie?
I think
movie?
He's the producer.
Okay.
I think Tarantino produced it.
It said, like, special guest producer, Quentin Tarantino.
And it's like, did you see the trailer where it's the line drawings
oh,
that turn
man.
Into reality?
No, I saw the one
trailers.
Where they're all, what's the girl from, the Gilmore Girls.
Right, right.
And
Alexis
he says something to her and shows something. She's like, oh, you shouldn't have just done that. And it's just like, the coloring stuff is so neat.
It's it looks like it's going to be just, in the best sense of the word, in the manliest sense, it's really just going to be an amazing, beautiful-looking film. I mean, it just looks fantastic. And plus, Jessica Alba. Oh, yeah.
And Brittany Murphy. And, like, who isn't in that movie?
It's just going to be fantastic. All right. So that's a terrible movie news, number one. Now, listen. Now, buried within this this story here about moonlighting is movie news number two that's bad for today. Bruce Willis has said he will never do a moonlighting reunion show. Now, this is not the point of the story. The point will be made clear in a second. He says, I will never do a moonlighting reunion show. Here is the order it would go in before I would do a moonlighting reunion show, said Willis. I would become a judge in American Idol, or I would be the center square in Hollywood Squares. If I see Cybill Shepherd, this is where you can tell they don't like each other. If I ever saw Cybill, I would give her a hug and catch up and say, wasn't that something? Because it was a good show for its time, and I'd rather leave it alone and let it retire undefeated. Says Willis, wait for it, who has just signed on for Die Hard 5. Or 4, or whatever. What is it? It'd be 4, right? Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Yeah, Die Hard 4. It just says signed on for the, quote, next installment of the Die Hard franchise. God damn. I mean, that's right. I mean, he really is entering it. I don't understand why he does this.
His wife is dating a 23-year-old.
Yeah, but he's, but hell, he's getting on with Lindsay Lohan. What does he care?
No, that turned out to be false.
No, it wasn't false.
And I guess it didn't mean that she thought she had a beautiful ass. It meant that she had a beautiful life or something.
All right, we need to catch people on what we're talking about. There was a story last week, which I believe, in the New York Post.
I know you do.
That says that Bruce Willis, 50, was groping Lindsay Lohan, 18, and that her pants were so low you could see a tattoo on one of her buttocks that said La Bella Vista, which means the beautiful view. All right? And I believe that story to be true. Because why wouldn't it be true? He's a good-looking guy. He's successful. She's clearly got daddy.
He's old and bald.
She's got daddy issues. I mean, come on, man. So I believe that. Just the heart. My point is, it's not like Sylvester Stallone, who needs money and who keeps going back to the Rocky well, because although he's very talented, people won't really give him a chance to break out of that. And so he goes back to Rocky over and over because he's got to pay the rent. Bruce Willis doesn't need that. He's got all this cred. Everybody loves him. I mean, everybody loves Bruce Willis. I don't understand why he does this. Well, whatever. You haven't even seen the first. I'm not going to.
I've seen half of it. I'm going to watch the rest of it today.
You can't watch it in bits and
pieces. Yes, I can. I'm going to start it over. I've seen the first part like 3 times now.
It is. I will say this. Die Hard is the greatest action film of all time. It is the absolute, to me, the absolute definitive gold standard for action films. Mr. McClane. I mean, and Hans Gruber is the greatest villain in film history that's not Hannibal Lecter or Darth Vader. He's certainly the greatest sort of real villain, by which I mean he's not some crazed, super cyborg or something. He's groundbreaking in that. As for why Kyle needs to see Animal House, I don't even have the strength to do it right now. All right, should I do... Oh, Scott Peterson's been sentenced to death, so goodbye to that guy. Should I do these calls, or should I do the 25? All right. Let's see. So let's go to the fold, shall we? Let's see. Matt is a first-time caller.
Yes.
Matt, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. I wanted to suggest a name for the listener party.
All right.
April's Fools.
April's Fools. Okay, hold on. Let me get my... Hold on. My legal pad has gone away somehow. All right. Matt. April's... Curly hat, clown hair, smiley face. Okay. And let's see. That's your info. All right. Excellent. Matt, thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right. April's Fools. Let's see. Mike Portland, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yo, doesn't Bruce Willis have like a daughter that's Lindsay Lohan's age? That's just crazy. It's bad.
I don't know.
And of course, when Frank Miller's movie, the only reason Tarantino's there is like the foot fetish thing. There's going to be feet all over the place. It'll be crazy. But I digress. The listener party.
Yes.
Thinking a 1040 sleazy.
Oh, that's really good.
Because, it's about the sleazy, and I couldn't come up with a way to, cold 40, it just didn't work. But the sleazy part, well, we all know.
1040 sleazy.
I think that's, it just rings.
I'm with you. I do like that. Okay.
Oh, no, take it easy, man.
All right, never do that again. All right. 1040 sleazy. That's genius. Okay. Well, let me open up some of these. Let me open up some of these emails here. But I didn't really anticipate that we were going to be getting like a whole bunch of calls on it right now, because I just figured we do the call to action later. But the people can't be held back. The people can't be restrained. Like the walls of Jericho, they just they can't be. All right, Big Rick. By the way, soft tissue is tendons, ligaments, and muscle. Hard tissue is bones and teeth. That shouldn't gross me out, but it does. Let's see. I'm going to close these e-cuts. Oh, God. The news is coming in faster than I can report it. Listen to this. This headline just in. Rampaging baboons. Never mind. I don't even have time. Bands of marauding baboons. I'm going to take just a second here.
Oh, God. I'm not on drugs.
This is from Kampala. Bands of marauding baboons in eastern Uganda are forcing parents to keep their children at home, causing rampant absenteeism in the region's primary schools. That's really all there is to read there. Let's see. This is just a bunch of... All right. Listener Party 8. The 10th... See, now it's just a lot of nizzle things. The 1040 nizzle shizzle. I'm not going to say where this guy's emailing from, because he's asked to be anonymous. He is from a place that takes care of our nation's greatest national resource. Let's see. Listener Party 8, tax that ass. Come on, how great is that? That's fantastic. Kyle gives that a strong thumbs up right over there. All right, I'll write this down. Okay, tax that ass. let's see. Audit this. How about this, listener Party 8? I got your 1040 right here. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, and this guy. Look, this guy's included tax that ass artwork. This guy's actually sent along the logo. Look at your screen. This guy's actually sent along artwork for listener Party 8. Tax that ass.
Okay.
That I like that top. It's kind of got that cool kind of 70s porn thing going on. That's pretty cool. I dig that. And it's got kind of a creepy sort of a kitschy font too.
I like the boy on all fours.
Okay, it should be noted I'm looking at the picture above that, which is of a girl. So he did send along.
Sure, you are.
I wasn't looking at the dude. He sent us two different versions. One called Spank 1 and Spank 2.jpg. And the top one is a woman on all fours on a couch, being paddled. And then there actually is a big pink paddle that says Listener Party 8. And then it says tax that ass.
We could have
letters.
Like an old-fashioned sorority fraternity paddle party. Like that's what we did. We used to make paddles for each other.
I don't understand. What do you mean you had a sorority
I don't know
party?
Why. No, we'd have a paddle party every year where you make paddles with
you
your...
you paddle each other?
Well, I can't talk about that.
Oh, come on. You're not in Skull and Bones. Have you ever paddled another girl?
I can't talk about it. I took an oath.
But you did, didn't you?
I can't talk about it.
All right. If you didn't do it, deny it with it. You have 5 seconds. I'm going to start the timer. We'll do like the All the President's Men thing. I'm going to start the timer. If you did not paddle another girl, you have time now to deny it. Starting the clock now.
I can't deny or say that I didn't.
I'm not hearing a denial.
Rick.
6, 7, 8.
I respect my
9.
Sisters.
That's fantastic. You paddled another girl. I can't believe
I didn't
you did
say
that.
I did.
I didn't hear any. I didn't hear anybody say that it wasn't true. Let's see. Jed, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What do you got?
First of all, F. Matt with a meaty omelet.
Excellent.
This F. Matt is brought to you by Barfly Magazine.
You know, I can feel that sausage, though, just slowly working its way through like somebody greased up passengers on a Tokyo subway. You know what I mean?
Fortunately, no.
Okay.
But, Listener Party 8, it's so simple. Turn it up.
Can I share with you a little something? By astonishing coincidence...
We would already have decorations, Rick.
And that's what I'm about to say.
Yes.
This is truly an astonishing coincidence. But we had it first, though. We have this thing we play that says, this radio station sucks. Turn it up. That, now we've had that for like 6 months, a year maybe. We had this all-company staff meeting a while back where it was like all the seven radio stations and all the...
open bar.
All the King's Horses and all the King's Men. We all got together for management to tell us how they're, you know, going to be losing some people and playing catch-up and Bob Slidell, you know, one of those meetings. And they unveiled a new corporate slogan. I swear to you, and Sarah will back... Sarah and Kyle will all back me up on this.
Look what I have in my hand.
There is a new corporate slogan at Intercom for which we have been given posters, pens, keychains, little motivational tablets of paper that sit on your desk. And the new corporate slogan for Intercom is what, Sarah?
Turn it up.
I swear to you, it is turn it up. So that turn it up thing, we were just making fun of the liner that we have that says that. But Intercom, through some miraculous coincidence, that... they did some focus group or some testing somebody somewhere, and they determined that turn it up is what's going to get us really motivated to do a great job. As though living in abject fear of unemployment every day, like, wasn't enough to motivate us. So there you go. So turn it up. There you go. Excellent. All right, that's Jed. Thank you. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, Rick, got to be careful coming off cold medication. You'll get irritable. You'll get irritable, itchy, and depressed.
No way.
Because it's amphetamine. That's why they make crank from it. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I knew that. Tax that asthma. Let's see. Listener Party 8, raising the syntax. How about this? Listener Party 8, liquidate your assets. Let's see. F-Mat with a stinky board up.
This F-Mat is brought to you by Barfly Magazine.
All right. Listener Party 8, 0.08 is great. Hey, that's pretty good. All right, that's from, I'm going to write that one down. Gary, Listener Party 8, 0.08 is great. 0.08 is great. All right, well, we'll finish this up later on. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with Jolie. Then Clyde will be here. We'll do these top five hottest rock girlfriends of all time, and we'll decide on a Listener Party name. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. It's 503-535-9100. You stay there. We will continue after this. It is the Rick Emerson Show right here on Max 910.